The book of Joshua, chapter 2, first 8 verses, let us read with the help of the Lord. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. And now, before our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees, and in our hearts let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this blessed word that Thou hast so freely and so abundantly given to us this day. We are thankful, O Lord, for the words of wisdom and truth that Thou hast given us this morning, and for these holy and trustworthy testimonies of old that we are reading this afternoon. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thy word is given to us so that we can use caution, that we can keep ourselves from the foolishness of the world, that we keep our hearts from the filth, the pollution of the world, that our mind and heart may be set up upon the heavenly things, O Lord. Thou hast given us this holy word of Thine as our spiritual food to strengthen our inner man, to refresh our souls, to comfort our hearts. O Father, may our heart ever be grateful. May our soul magnify Thy great and holy name, and all that is within us, O Lord, may it glorify Thee for Thy great goodness and mercy. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, King of this earth and the rulers of the countries and the wealthiest men in this world around us, have none of these treasures that Thou hast revealed to us. And yet, O Heavenly Father, Thou hast given us this holy word of Thine so that we can see that from the times of old, those that desired to live godly were persecuted, that there is an ongoing battle between the powers of darkness and Thy children, O Lord. And as Thou didst lead the people, the children of Israel, to conquer the promised land, so, O Heavenly Father, Thou art leading Thy children today, step by step, through prayers and supplications, battling against the ruler of darkness, striving, O Heavenly Father, to serve Thee in true godliness, in faithfulness, in purity. So we pray, Lord, that today again, this afternoon hour, Thou give us an open heart and mind for Thy holy word. And thou, Heavenly Father, as we read thy word, as we share thy message, thou grant us the anointing of thy Holy Spirit, that we may, O Heavenly Father, understand what thou art telling to us. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, that strong faith of the patriarchs, of the holy prophets and the holy apostles, that in our faith, O Heavenly Father, we may not waver, that we be not soon shaken by the threats of our enemy, that we be not desirous of the pleasures of this world. Thou make our faith strong and strongly, firmly established and founded upon that rock of ages, thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, that in everything that we read in the Holy Scripture, O Lord, we may see part of the message of the Gospel. And in every situation, O Heavenly Father, and especially in every difficulty, in every strife, in every battle, that we can see another opportunity to share the message, to proclaim the truth, to prove that Thou art God and there is none other, and that we are Thy people, that we belong to none other. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, fill our hearts with that pure and holy heavenly love. And Thou grant us, O Heavenly Father, to love one another. O Lord, it is so much in the corrupted nature of the human beings to take for granted the gifts that Thou givest, to despise and to reject the precious values, and then when they are left without the same values, then to lament and to protest. And so to desire what they have not and to despise what they have. But Thou, O Heavenly Father, grant us to value Thy gifts, to appreciate Thy grace, to be deeply grateful for Thy great goodness and mercy, O Lord, and to enjoy Thy blessings. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, teach us Thou to conduct our daily walk in a way that is always pleasing Thee, that is always bringing us closer to Thee. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, that true godliness, purity, holiness, righteousness, patience and loving kindness, meekness and modesty. Grant us courage when we are threatened by dangers. And grant us caution when we are enjoying peace, when we are rejoicing in gladness. Gracious Lord, fill our hearts with Thy Holy Spirit and dwell Thou in our hearts. Lead us Thou and teach us. May the peace of a conscience cleansed from every sin by the precious blood of the Redeemer, may that peace that passeth the limits of human understanding fill our hearts, and the joy of Thy salvation may it fill to overflowing our souls, All gracious and loving Heavenly Father, may that goodness and grace of Thine be upon Thy children every day new. Holy Father, Thou art King of Kings. Thou art worthy that our whole heart and mind belong to Thee. O grant us that spiritual health. Grant us, O Heavenly Father, sound mind, clear understanding, make us faithful in everything that we do, and keep us from every evil, O Lord. Help us to help the others, and in helping those that are in need, Thou grant us, O Lord, to sense how Thou art helping us. O gracious Lord, Almighty God, grant us so much of Thy joy that we can share with the others. Make us so much aware of Thy protection, guidance, and instruction that we may extend a helping hand to the others. Gracious Lord, we pray that in everything Thy name be honored, worshipped, and praised. Thou grant us, O Lord God Almighty, that wonderful grace of Thine in such abundant measure, that every day be a day of honoring Thy holy name, that every day be a step closer to that blessed eternity. For indeed, here we have no city that will remain. Here we have no refuge place other than that rock of ages, that haven of rest for our souls, in Thy goodness and mercy, in the grace of Christ. O Lord God Almighty, we see that the children of Israel had often fierce battles, often moments of great tension and fear. They often, O Heavenly Father, relying on Thy help, trusting in Thy protection, gained victory in the battle. And all of that, O Lord God Almighty, that they would conquer and inherit the land where milk and honey floweth. And now, Lord God Almighty, Thou art leading us through the wilderness of these last times toward the heavenly home, to which our soul is longing. O grant us, Lord, that we spare no zeal, no effort, that we, O Heavenly Father, with our whole heart and mind, soul and body, be offered upon that altar of the most holy faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we, O Heavenly Father, may serve Thee and Thee alone, and through Christ be united with Thee forever. Amen. In our second reading, beloved, I desire that we continue our reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Let us continue in the verse number 8 to the verse 16, with the help of the Lord. Joshua 2:8. And before they were... I made a mistake. Joshua 2, 7, verse number 7. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the people, all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. This far I desire that you read from the book of Joshua. After the death of Moses, who was a mighty ruler and a great prophet of the Lord, there probably was felt something like a vacuum among the children of Israel. Who is going to lead? Now, it was clear to them that the Lord has appointed Joshua, the son of Nun, to be the leader after Moses. And yet, it was probably a question in the minds of the people if Joshua will be able to lead the way Moses led them. I imagine, beloved, that they probably remembered in their hearts how often they rebelled against Moses, how many times they wanted to return back into the land of Egypt. And even though that probably by now most of the children of Israel that were leading in rebellion were dead, and these that were now the people in the days of their rebellion were children or very young men, and yet being the children and young men, they probably supported the opinion of their parents and grandparents, and in their hearts they might have had some of that rebellion. And yet now, when Moses was dead, they were sitting in one place weeping for a whole month, 30 days weeping for Moses, because they felt bereaved. Right now, when they are already entering into the promised land, when they needed all the wisdom and all the skill, all the experience that they could have, and all the power and strength to conquer that country, to overcome the enemies. Now they are left without Moses. And that's just another lesson for the people of God of all generations, that by rebellion men can only make the situation more difficult and more drastic for them. Well, Joshua received the commandment from the Lord, and yet how could Joshua be sure that the children of Israel are going to obey the commandment of the Lord? For they were rebellious people. So the Lord talked to Joshua and told him that he is going to be the one. The Lord said to Joshua, "Thou shalt be the one to lead my people, and there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." It was a glorious moment in Joshua's life. It was a wonderful, glorious moment in the history of the children of Israel. What was promised to our father Abraham so many, many years ago, centuries ago, now is going to be fulfilled. The Lord says he will fulfill all that he has sworn to their fathers to give them that land. But the Lord is also encouraging Joshua and says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." What does that mean? Who needs any courage when there is no danger? Be thou courageous, for there will be threats. There will be dangers. There will be enemies. But be thou very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, what does this tell to us today? We should not turn to the left nor to the right from that we received from the Lord. Just let us be very careful and be sure what we did receive from the Lord, because it's very easy to receive something from my father or grandfather or my mother or grandmother, and it's not quite sure that it is from the Lord until we find it in the scripture. It is very good that we keep the good traditions. It is very important to keep faithful, godly customs and the Christian standards. If we have received them, let us keep them. If we did not receive them, we better hurry and find them in the scripture and get them. But let us not forget when Gideon, the son of Joash, received the message from the Lord by the angel, and Gideon went into the town, into their village, and destroyed the altar of Baal according to the commandment of God. And in the morning, the people, the elders of the city, got up and inquired who did that. And then they came to the house of Joash, the father of Gideon, and they said, "Bring thy son forth that he may be put to death, because he destroyed the altar of the Lord." You see, Baal and Lord is the same word. Only Baal is the Lord in Sidonian's language and Lord is Hebrew language. Well, fortunately, Josh also received the message from the Lord. And he said to the people of the city, are you going to defend Baal? If he is God, let him defend himself. And who is going to fight for Baal? That one is going to be put to death today. Now Josh was a very powerful man. He had a great family. He also had a lot of servants. And his word was like a law. So the people of the city withdrew, and the worship of the Lord was established again. Now, if Gideon said, no, I will keep what I received from my father or from his father, depend how many generations they were engaged in idolatry and or idol worship, then he would have kept the altar of Baal and worship of Baal, which was a deadly sin. So the Lord said to Joshua to keep everything that is already recorded in the law of Moses, not to change anything. And so we should keep everything that is recorded in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and not change anything. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. What does that mean, to depart out of thy mouth? You know, if we come to this place and somehow we manage to listen to the service and use our efforts to focus on what we are hearing, but as soon as we are out of this place, our mouth is filled with other things that we are interested in. This word probably departed from our mouth. We have nothing to talk about that. You see. So, the Lord says, let this be thy conversation. Everything in the name of the Lord. Everything for His name's honor and glory. Everything because this is His commandment, and not because we are afraid if we don't do it according to His commandment, He is going to smite us with this or that plague. But because we love His commandments and we know that His commandments are to us for good. That word should not depart from our mouth. It should be in our heart. For what is in the heart, that goes out through the mouth. That's what the Lord said. So, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, we sometimes see the success in the visible results, what we do. If we witness to somebody and that person happened to be moved and turned to believe the Lord, we would believe that that was a success, and probably it was, as rare as it is nowadays. But if we witness to a person and that person rejects the word of God, it's still a success. We did our part. That's our success, when we do our part. You see. Why then nowadays is such a difficult thing to turn away from the world and to turn to the Lord with our whole heart? Why is repentance such a long procedure and often incomplete? Could it be that we that are so long in the faith are not giving the best example? Could it be that our testimony is too poor? Could it be that those that are learning the gospel and seeking the Lord's way are not really seeking that much. But one day I'm moved with the word of God, and then I quickly look for something that will give me some forgetfulness, because it's too hard for me to be sad or to strive against my own personality or my own problems. Or is it too difficult to be in prayer and fasting and so on? Are we less aware of the nearness of God's judgment than the jailer that fell down before the feet of Paul and Silas and was feverishly asking, "What shall I do to be saved?" "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." It's a great truth, fundamental truth. God is not going to fail. And then verse 9 in chapter 1. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua turned to the people, saying, "Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan." You see, Joshua in this case did not ask, "How do you feel about that? Shall we go over the Jordan or not? Would you like to battle against these people or not?" No. God commanded to Joshua. Joshua turned around and commanded to the officers, and the officers passed on the commandment to the people. "Within 3 days, ye shall pass over this Jordan. Ye shall do it, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." And the people answered to Joshua in the verse number 16. Marvelous 3 verses, wonderful 3 verses. They answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." You see, why were they so obedient and so eager to hear and do what God commanded to Joshua? Well, because their strong desire was that the Lord their God be with them. That's one thing they feared and they didn't want to happen to them, and that is to become as aimless and without guidance and instruction as the other people around them, the people that are already sentenced to be destroyed. And every people, no matter how wonderful name they have, are on the way of destruction if they have not the guidance of the Lord. Now, this is all wonderful and great. We also have nowadays the people that are ready not only to live but to die just to do what their leaders tell them. And so they go into their death and straight to hell. how awful and how terrible it was that the children of Israel listened and obeyed King Saul for so many years. How terrible, what a disaster that the children of Israel listened to Jeroboam, to Asa, Baasha, to Ahab, and similar wicked men. You see, obedience and discipline without the fear of God, without God's light, His truth, is worthless. Not worthless only, destructive. So, happy is the people and blessed is the nation to whom God is the King. And He commands and they obey and listen and follow in the steps of the Savior. So Joshua sent two men to spy secretly. These men went as travelers, as passengers, and they went into the city of Jericho. It was a mighty city. It was a powerful kingdom. And the city was built in such a way that in those days it was impossible to conquer that city. And yet they were on guard and they were watching. And as soon as the watchman on the towers or the guards at the gate, the entry into the city, noticed that some strangers are coming, they would inquire, they would follow, they would watch to find out what kind of strangers are coming in. They probably were watching the people in the city to see who is going where. And so, two men, two Israelites, came into Jericho and they found a place where the strangers were lodging. It was a filthy, sinful place. I don't know if it was filthy physically, but it was a place of gross immorality, a place of prostitution. For the merchants that would travel from city to city, from kingdom to kingdom, would entertain themselves in such places. These two men only asked for lodging, only to spend the night there. And even that they did not use. In this place where one would probably never expect to find someone who would fear God and desire to escape from death and find shelter in the mercy of the God of Israel, that's what these two men found in this place. Imagine two Hebrews among the citizens of Jericho. They were different. Their language was different. They could not hide. And yet they tried. But they did look and observe carefully around to see what they are going to battle against. So the news quickly went to the king of Jericho that in the Rahab's lodging place and the place of entertainment, there are two Hebrews, two spies from among the people that destroyed already two great kingdoms on the other side of Jordan. And the king of Jericho sent his soldiers to the hostess, the owner of this lodging place, Rahab, and when the people came to the soldiers came to arrest the two spies, to take him into the prison or into the house of their king to be questioned and probably put to death. Rahab quickly hid the two men and then went back to the soldiers and said to them, "Yeah, that's true, there were some men here, and there were two men that are the way you describe them. I had no idea that who they were and where they came from and so on. But just before the dark, they went toward the gate of the city. You quickly run after them and you probably find them and get them." And so the soldiers, trusting Rahab to be one of their people, a worshipper of their idols, one that provided entertainment for them, one that lived in their style, she was theirs, but she was not. She actually betrayed her own people. You know, whenever person leaves the world and turns to the Lord, for the world, that's a betrayal. We left their camp and we joined the Lord. We have no remorse for that, because all that the world is enjoying and using as their own actually is the property of our Lord and Master. It's stolen. It's taken by treachery, you see. So what happened? Rahab decided that she is going to risk her own life to save the life of these two men, in the hope that these two men will help her receive asylum from Joshua and his people. She was looking for a visa. And what happened? The soldiers pursued after the two men toward the Jordan, and the two men were hiding under flax, and they were on top of the roof, and before they were laid down to rest, to sleep, she came unto them upon the roof. Now, in that house might have been many people. There could be some other guests and visitors that could report on Rahab. So she had to be very careful. She could not guarantee that even some of her prostitutes that were there working for her could not report on them. Everyone was having one's own interest in that land. Now she came to the two spies, two Hebrews, Rahab, and she's talking to them, and she said, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." Now imagine, these two men are in danger of their life. They might be discovered and put to death. They are on the territory of their enemies. And this woman, Rahab, is talking to them this way: "I know that the Lord has given you the land. Your fear, your terror is fallen upon us. All the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath." You see, the gods of the Amorites had their departments. There was a God in the rivers, God in the sea, another God in the sea, there was God of the earth, God of the forest, God of the valley, of the mountain, and just about anything had a different God. And the city of Jericho probably had the god of the valley. And now they said, our God is not going to be able to help us because the God of the Hebrews is the God of heaven and earth. He has everything. He is powerful everywhere.